Welcome to Ruby Ray, real and raw conversations for the rising global woman. I am your host, Jacqueline Norton. Hello, welcome back to episode 3 of the Ruby Ray podcast. I'm your host, Jacqueline Norton, and today, it is such a juicy interview, especially considering everything going on right now with abortion bans happening across our country and really this fight for reproductive freedom really coming back into the forefront of American society, which feels like we're really backtracking in a lot of different ways. And our conversation today, I'm talking with Family Constellations facilitator Maureen Sileny, and we dive into so much about healing and about simplifying healing and about our families and how so much of our own traumas, actually, in fact, all of our own wounds and traumas that we experience in this lifetime come from somewhere in our family system, which I think is totally overlooked for most of our life. You know, we think that we're alone in whatever struggles we might experience, when in fact, someone, you know, an ancestor or someone in your lineage before you experienced the exact same thing. And once we can learn that and learn to look at that and see our family system through this perspective, then we can really expand our consciousness and awareness and be able to heal that. And so I love this work because it changed my perspective so much on my own life, and being able to look at my family through that lens and, you know, recognize different patterns and just broaden that awareness. I think this is a really valuable perspective for all of us to have, no matter, because we all come from a family, literally. And I think that this conversation is just super important to be having given these times that we're in, because we're in this place where we're seeking balance. We're in this like power struggle, balance struggle between the masculine and the feminine. And really at its core, family constellation therapy is about restoring balance between both. And right now, what we're seeing in our society is what happens when we come out of balance. And in our case, you know, living under patriarchy for thousands of years, there's so much masculine, like toxic masculinity in a sense, in our society, because we've lost touch with these other feminine aspects, men and women, it doesn't matter, just these, you know, the nurturing and the wanting to look after ourselves and especially our bodies. You know, this whole debate about abortion and a woman's right to her body, a part of it is that. And then another part of it is just also like remembering and valuing this part of taking care of ourselves and looking out for each other. And so I'm super excited to have this conversation and share this conversation with you today. And I hope you get as much out of it as I did. And yeah, I hope that, you know, this podcast is all about connecting back to the person that we really are, and especially strengthening that feminine aspect of ourselves and not seeing it as weak or like valuing this part of ourselves. And so I hope that in being able to look at your family system a little bit differently, or maybe with new eyes, that it helps you bring you back to the person that you really are and discard, help you shed and let go of all of the bullshit conditioning that you've built up around yourself that isn't really you. Because this is, and it's only inhibiting you from becoming the person that you're here to be. So hopefully this helps you peel back some layers, because our family system is everything, and it's the foundation from which we build our lives. So once we can accept and acknowledge and be aware of the system that we come from, then we have the choice to build our own however we want it and create our own story. So here is Marine Céline.
Well, I want to start off by just having you explain what's the difference between family constellation therapy and regular talk therapy.
Okay, so at first I think I'm going to explain what is family constellations in a few words. So family constellations was founded by Bert Hellinger in the 50s, and it's a therapeutic method that helps to uncover any blockages affecting your relationships, your career, your finance, your health, your love life, anything through the perception of your family system, of your family story. So the difference between regular therapy talk and family constellations is, of course, at first you are going to talk about your story, talk about your past, your childhood, you know, whatever has been you have been struggling with, or it has been blocking your way of expanding, of moving on. So this is the first part, like the more conscious part. You are talking. And then when we set up the constellation, it's actually more about your unconscious, more about your repressed emotions associated to the past events that unfortunately you were not able to fully understand, to fully process. So this part is more based, focus on your emotions and feelings, which through a regular therapy, normally we focus more on the conscious part. You keep talking and talking. But if you don't want to share something, well, there is no trigger that may actually like bring you to maybe that trauma you had at the age of 5 years old, or that repressed feelings that you had at the age of 14 years old. While with family constellations, because we also work on the subconscious part, we can dive deeper in those emotions, in those struggles, obstacles, challenges that you have been repeating over and over again, but it's still there. It's still present, and you cannot clearly pinpoint what it is. So I would say the difference between regular therapy and family constellation is you cannot run away from your shadows, you know, from what you have been, you know, hiding through your beautiful smile, through a fancy clothes, you know, like you cannot hide anymore. But of course, you can still be resistant to really like open up to that emotion, because sometimes it can be really painful. However, your body will take care of it through your posture, through your body language, through the tone of your voice, through any tensions or disease or symptoms that you may have. It will also give us some guidance in order to help you to heal what has been preventing you from living your life to the fullest.
So you're saying that family constellation therapy can really get to the root of the wound.
Yes, that's right.
And then what, once you've located it, so say once you've gained awareness of this pattern that's in your family that you now have, what can you do to start to heal that?
So recognition is a big part of family constellations, because as we say, it's everyone belongs and everyone has a place. So whenever someone felt rejected by the family, he or she will create a heaviness in the family system. So if you know that someone has been rejected, whether because of his sexuality, or because he's or she's a child from an affair, or maybe she was too extravagant, or maybe she was seen as crazy, recognize that person. Give her a place. This will help tremendously the energy of your family system to release, you know, like to drop off, you know, like, okay, we are just going to drop that heavy weight because now that person has a place. It is also the same thing for abortions, miscarriage, stillborn, murder, suicide. How many suicides have been covered by an accident or a disease? It's, you know, it's still a big secret, like when someone killed himself or herself. So recognition will be the first part. And then there is also through healing phrases, really simple one. You do not need to complicate your healing in order to break free from whatever has been holding you back. That's also really important in family constellations. I can give you a few examples of healing phrases like, I am your daughter. You are my mother. This brings the order back, mother, daughter. It can also be, I cannot save you. I trust you. I trust your destiny. And through those healing phrases, that's also going to trigger the emotion, a feeling. You will feel lighter. You will feel more focused on your own life without desperately trying to heal someone else's destiny or fix or save, you know, like someone's health fate, I would say.
You said that it doesn't, I love that you said it doesn't need to be complicated, because I feel like sometimes in just like the healing process, it can feel just like it's never going to end, right? Like, oh, when is it finally going to happen? You feel like you have to do all of these different things and it's not actually making a difference, or it's not enough, or you can kind of get into like caught into that trap of healing in a way, almost of of making it seem so complicated. So how is family constellations different in that? How does it simplify that process?
Well, in order to be at peace with your life, you know, as an adult, you need three things: to be seen, to be heard, and to be recognized. And those three elements, they all start at first with your family, and so with your parents. If as a child you have been seen, heard, and recognized, that means, you know, you felt that you belong to your family, that you had a place. And no matter what decision you were going to make, you could always, you know, go back to your family, to your parents, to your siblings. Through family constellations, we re-implement the three elements, meaning I see you, I hear you, and I recognize you. It starts with your inner child, the little boy or little girl that you used to be, and then through that extension to your adult self. When you have the three elements in your life, you can move on freely. You can believe in yourself. You can celebrate life to the fullest.
And how do you do that? Is that a process that you can do just on your own, or what, can you walk me through what coming back to that looks like?
You can do it on your own. It will take a lot of time maybe, but you can do it on your own. Because remember one thing, doing therapy is one moment, is 1 hour with someone, maybe every week, every 2 weeks, or once a month, okay? But then, of course, the work that we are going to do together with your therapist, you need to take care of it after. You need to commit to it. You need to nourish it. Without your responsibility toward your healing, toward your therapy, well, unfortunately, in a few weeks, in a few months, or even in a few years, you may go back to point A. So it's also important to commit. And it's one of the first questions that I ask to my clients. Okay, are you ready to commit? Are you ready to be responsible? Meaning, are you ready to be an adult? Because a child is pretty selfish, actually. Like, I do not care. Mom and dad are just going to fix it for me. They're just going to repair it for me. But as an adult then, well, you are in charge of your words, of your behaviors. Mommy is not going to apologize for your behavior. You will need, you know, to be like, oh, I'm sorry for my behavior. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. And this, of course, asks courage, authenticity, but it is mandatory in order to heal and in order to move on, to be responsible for your life. I see myself as an adult. And, you know, sometimes when we are having a fight, you know, a battle in our head, like it's like a monologue, but actually it looks like two people talking to each other. Like as an adult, you know what you should do, you know, it's pretty like, it makes sense. while actually there is also a little voice, you know, like being like, no, you shouldn't do that. You know, it's great to be angry. Oh, it's great, you know, to be mean. And actually, it's just your little boy or little girl, you know, trying to fix something that he or she was incapable of understanding it, you know, like way before you as an adult. And so right now, he or she is trying to convince you to stay like little. But the thing is, you are an adult. So if you are an adult acting like a child, you may experience difficult relationship with others, and not only in your personal life, with your friends, with your family, with your partner, your love partner, but also at work. So it's important to understand that, yes, your therapist will be here, will guide you, will lead you, will support you. But at the end, it's also up to you. And that commitment, no one else can give it to you. No one else can offer it to you except you.
Can you explain to me, what do specific family members determine? So how can I look at my family lineage to understand how they're really affecting me or different areas of my life that might be impacted because of it?
Okay, so let's start with the generation of your great-grandparents. Most of the time, we don't really know a lot about them.
Right.
But if something important did happen, we may have heard about the story, you know, like about what happened. So your great-grandparents' generation, plus their siblings, they determine, they influence the belief system of your family. It's like the philosophy of your family. The idea of what life is about, what relationship is about, how you should behave. Let's say, for example, me in my family, my great-grandmother was a really strong and independent woman. She wore pants, you know, like she traveled. And at that time, early 20th century, it was pretty bold. It was pretty badass in a way.
Yeah.
While actually, my great-grandfather was a gambler and had some sexual addiction. In a way, he was seen as pretty weak, like he couldn't help the family to go on, to move on. So women have to take care of the men. Okay? So to sum up, Marine's story from her great-grandparents, it's like women are strong and men are weak.
Mm.
And then for your grandparents' generation plus their siblings, it influences the emotions and the feelings. Why? Because this is through your grandparents that you can learn more about your own parents, that you can understand them more. Let's say, for example, your grandfather was emotionally unavailable. And as a matter of fact, your father was too. Through the story of your grandfather, maybe you can have more compassion for him. You can finally understand that it was not against you. It was not about you. It was just what your father learned through his own father. Do not get me wrong. It is not an excuse. It is not like, well, my father is emotionally unavailable, so I'm just going to be emotionally unavailable. Or my mother had 3 abortions, so I'm just going to have 3 abortions too. Okay? It will be too easy. Then your parents plus their siblings, they determine your sexuality, your identity, and your creativity. At first, if you are a boy or a girl, your parents, and it may be unconsciously, they are going to give you an identity. Maybe they are going to tell you, oh, my little girl, you are so pretty. You should just cook with mommy. Or please, can you read a book while actually your brother is going to play soccer because he's a boy. So he needs to interact with other boys and play outside while actually you, my pretty girl, I don't want you to mess up your dress. You know, those type of sentences.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, your own generation with your siblings, it's going to determine how you share your environment with others, how you take your place in your life, in a group, Are you the one who is going to hide in one of the corners in the room, let's say the yoga class? Or are you the one who really wants to be seen by your yoga teacher? Like, all of those four generations before you will have an unconscious, of course, impact, influence on your life at that moment. The good news is when you finally take a look on it, you can heal from it. It's not a curse. It's not a malediction. Okay.
Yeah. So, it's so easy to, I think, to kind of look at our family and find different patterns. And of course, there's the strengths that every family has too. But then the weaker parts of it, especially when you know that they've gotten passed down to you, or that you have some of these, you know, behavioral symptoms or whatever it might be, I think there can be that tendency to blame, right? Just being hard on our family, like judging or blaming, or, oh, I got this. So how does family constellation sort of change that perspective? So that, do you think that's what causes the healing in this process?
I think it's also part of the process. The thing is, with blaming and complaining, it's a childish behavior. Mm-hmm. I'm not responsible for my life. You are the guilty one. It is your fault. So you are not fully engaged with your life, with your career, with your friendship, with your love partner. You are just on the side of your life thinking that someone else is going to resolve anything on your own name. And this, it's impossible. So also through family constellation, because you are going to take your place back as the daughter, the son, a mother, a father, like whoever you are right now, you will be seen as an adult, as someone who needs also to handle his life and to take care, you know, of his or her own behavior. Because the more you are going to complain, the more you are going to blame your family, your parents for the shitty life that you might having right now, the less you're going to be happy. It's like expecting something that, let's be honest here, may never happen. Your parents, they did the best they could. The only thing that you can do is, because you are going to change your perception toward who you are, so you're also going to change your perception towards them. Have some compassion for them. Have some kindness. Like, it's been 6 years now that I have been running my own practice. And honestly, on all of my clients, I have, yes, maybe 15-20% of family stories that are really awful. By awful, I mean trauma like sexual abuse, molestation, murder, physical violence. But then it's just parents who believed to give birth to a new generation. And for this, high five. And then with their own stories, with their own behaviors, with their own parents, they really tried to offer their best. And what I say often is, a peaceful adult, a serene adult, is someone who fully accepts what he or she did receive from his parents, her parents, and also from what he or she did not receive. And when you are in that mindset, like, thank you so much for everything that you gave me and also everything that you did not give me, you can move on.
Why is it that you think it requires having that holistic view of the entire situation that to allow us to move on?
Because otherwise, you may unconsciously still waiting for a miracle, or maybe hearing your father asking for your pardon, because maybe it was not there often during your childhood. And this just creates struggles within yourself, within your body. Because the thing is, what's going to happen is you are going to find someone else to repair what happened to you. So maybe you are going to ask your boyfriend, please, my father was absent. I dare you to be absent. Or maybe like with your boss, okay? And it's a woman and your mother was pretty bossy too. Maybe you are going to recreate that relationship with your boss, and it will be an NLCY one, because it will be more based on your emotions and feelings than actually on your efficiently at work. So whenever, whatever you did not understand, you did not fully process as a child, as a teenager, or even as a young adult, depending of your past events, you will find another way to fix, to save, to heal that part of your past. And because you cannot do it through your parents, you will pick someone else to do it. And this can create bad breakups, resentment with a friend, or resigning job after job. So please, please, please take care of your past first. Take care of your family first, because this is your foundation. This is your main foundation, and it will follow you, and it will follow you everywhere.
Wow. So it's like when the wound is there, it's like this gap and you're just constantly going to be looking for it to be filled somehow.
Yes, exactly.
In areas of your life.
Exactly.
And so how does going back to our family unit, going back to our past, how does that allow us to create a new story or a new foundation for ourselves? How are we able to build it upon what we want it to be, not what it actually is, if that makes sense?
Mm-hmm. So your past is actually one of your strengths. But the thing is, sometimes we can regret a lot of things. Words that we did not pronounce. Apologize that we didn't say out loud. Or just clearing up a situation that did hurt you a lot, but you were too proud to take care of it. And then you are just going to like carry that heavy burden days after days, months after months, years after years. And you will still complain about, well, my past is so heavy. This is why I cannot be fully happy in my present moment, which is a big lie. Because when finally you are just going to take your share, 50%, you know, like what happened in the situation, and give back also that responsibility to the other person, the burden is going to light up. And then finally, by acknowledging your past for what it was, without again trying to fix it, you know, like to change it, because you cannot change your past. You can either make one of your strengths or one of your weaknesses. I will highly recommend you to take it as one of your strengths. And so finally, when your past has its own place, you can be in your present moment. And because the future also happens in your present moment, you will be able to move on.
Wow. So there's so many layers to this here, because you start like understanding that you might, these different things that you thought were just a part of you, you really, it's really an example, or it's really passed down from a grandparent or a great-great-grandparent or parents. And is there a certain way that you can know how wounds or something has been passed down to you, especially things that are less obvious? So I think so much of what this stuff, it lives in the subconscious mind. So you might be displaying these different behaviors, but the awareness isn't even there, right? Because it's so deeply ingrained in ourself and in our brain and our family mm-hmm. system that you don't even, a lot of it is something that is in you, but you don't even, you're not aware of it.
Yeah.
So can you explain what the process is mm-hmm. of, you know, digging up into these like old patterns that can possibly be entrenched in our family system for generations upon generations? So mm-hmm. you just think it's normal. And how do you like dig that out and make a change from there?
So I think at first, by drawing your family tree, it can be pretty helpful, because you will be able to visualize your family. Even if it's only your generation, the generation of your parents and the generation of your grandparents, it's more than enough. What you can do is write the date of birth, the date of death, all of the names. Do you share your name with someone else? If you do, what was the destiny of that person? Hmm. Also, you can write maybe your grandparents were from China and then they moved to America. So your parents were the first generation born here in America and you are the second one. Any wars like World War II or Vietnam War as also like an influence on your family system. Your religion too. Maybe if you are from a Jewish, you know, family, maybe a few family members died during the Holocaust, or maybe your family lost their houses, you know, like their money, anything like that. You can also ask maybe your mother if she had any miscarriages or abortion, because this also has a tremendous impact on your life if you are maybe the following child.
Why is that?
Because the thing is, secrets in the family are the worst. Because energetically speaking, we know something happened. However, because the secret has not been revealed yet, we can make up stories or we can have dangerous behaviors. Like this morning, for example, I had a new client, and her parents at first, before her and before her brother, they made the decision to have an abortion because they were not ready yet. They wanted to make more money in order to raise, you know, like decently, you know, their next children. And my client was the second one, so following that abortion. And she's 35 years old. And since then, she always felt guilty of being alive.
Wow.
So that abortion, you know, that her parents, you know, it was a conscious choice. However, for her, it was like, well, why me? Am I alive? It's not fair. So this can also explain, you know, the guiltness, you know, like, oh my God, I'm alive. This is also the same dynamic when maybe you follow a miscarriage or a stillborn. Like, why me? Why did I have the chance to right now be alive, be on planet Earth? So secrets, my advice is please speak your truth. Tell the truth. It is so important for the current generation and for the next generations because it will prevent dramas and traumas, you know, like, and accidents maybe or disease. So this is really, really important.
So what can you do when, for example, coming from, I think right now, I think about where we are in just in time and in history right now. And for a lot of women in my generation and it, well, actually all women, I think that we can all speak to this, that we've been raised in that very conditioned society where it's the, you know, duality between the male and the female. And we're just getting to a point now where I think we are being more encouraged and having the confidence to speak our mind or to tell our, you know, truth or tell our stories and these different things, which this shift is happening more recently than, in, you know, in, mm-hmm. in just even in the past year. But that's not the way that we were raised. And that's not the way that we were conditioned to be growing up. So there's that discomfort in it. And there's that rattling and, you know, kind of that feeling of rocking the boat, because we've been told to be nice and play nice and be quiet, you know, growing up, when the boys were just like, kind of in a way able to, there was more freedom of expression there, I think. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to how we kind of as a generation of women can move on from that and how family constellations plays a role in that as mm-hmm. well?
So first, to answer your question regarding how family constellations can play a role in that, it's in family constellations, the masculine and feminine energy, they have a place, both of them. Men and women have to be seen equally. Because when there is an imbalance, whether the feminine energy has been shut down or the masculine one, there will be also an imbalance in the family and so in every family members. And this can create violence, emotional abuse, or rape too. Like, I need to be more aggressive, I need to speak up stronger in order to be seen, in order to be heard. And I would say actually with what's happening since a few years actually now, it's kind of the same. Woman, we took back our power because at first we had to be nice. We had to not speak our truth, especially when we were harassed, you know, by men or physically or emotionally abused too. And what happened is right now there is also that anger toward men. But the thing is, men are not our problem. We need our men too. And men, they also need us, the woman. We are together in that new movement, in that new transition. Mm-hmm. And if we go without our men, it will be also a disaster. Because look right now, men, most of the time, they did go without us. without asking us, you know, like our opinion, without respecting also our decision, especially for women's rights regarding abortion, birth control, and all of those. And right now, it's like a little fight, you know, between men and women, who is going to win. And I can see this a lot with women, like you say, Jacqueline, from our generation, still being single and struggling with it. Because now we make our own money. We don't need men anymore, in a way. Like, you know what? I make my own money. I rent my own apartment. I'm a badass at my job. And honestly, if I want a kid, I can just ask a sperm donor. So men, you know, they just lost their identity. Like, oh my God, what are we going to do now? And so there is that passive aggressive. Like men, they don't know if they can approach us, if they can make a compliment, you know, if they can offer us a drink. And women, sometimes, that's true, let's be honest, I'm guilty too. We can also be like too harsh, like, you know, no, please don't talk to me, okay? Or like not even, you know, like still like you're invisible, you know, and I'm just talking to my girlfriends, okay? So we really need to make peace, because it's not because there are 10% of assholes, excuse my French, that actually the 90% of the rest, you know, are assholes too. That's not true. They are great guys. They are great women. And sorry, but not sorry, they're also bitches. Because women sometimes can also be pretty harsh toward other women. So we really need to find that balance between our masculine and feminine energy. It's great to have our own career. It's great to make our own money, to be independent. But let's not get fooled. We also want to be loved. We also want to be respected by a man or a woman, like if you are more attracted to women, but we also want to be in a committed relationship where we will again feel seen, heard, and recognized, and we will share our life.
What can we do when we're at this really, I feel like there's this dance between men and women going on, and maybe it isn't even so much men and women as just as the masculine, feminine energies. Because here we are as women coming out of, you know, 5,000 years of the patriarchy.
Yep.
And so we're in a way learning what it means to be a woman again, because we're questioning the everything that we've been told about what it means from our parents and grandparents and great grandparents. And so you can't blame them for what they've passed down to us. For example, my lineage is Irish Catholic, and that was women especially were to be seen and not to be heard. So there's that, there's that, I don't know, that pattern of women not, you know, just being the nice Catholic girl and not speaking her mind about it. And so you start to recognize these patterns and try to undo them or untangle them a bit. But at the same time that this is going on, there's also this separation between men and women, and especially with, you know, men not knowing how they can approach women now. It, you know, there's just such this like discomfort, I feel like, in a lot of ways, between like the men and the women right now, because things are changing. And so
yes. Oh, yeah. And this is why Tinder became so big.
Oh, you think?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure about that.
Like
we can hide. You know, we can hide behind our screen and say, like, not like, I don't want to talk to you, so I don't need to talk to you because you cannot see me.
Oh, my gosh. That's so right. It's totally changed even the dating culture.
You. Yeah. Because, come on, like... 20 years ago, even 15 years ago, come on, 10 years ago, actually, it was just a casual way of like going out or meeting your husband or your wife at work, but talking to each other, you know, like interfering, you know, like talking, expressing yourself, you know. And now it's like, okay, I'm just going to take my phone. I'm going to swipe left or right. And we will see.
So what can we do to kind of come back to that foundation of like unity or of togetherness? Because I don't want to say that it's just like, it's just the men that's all wrong, because I know that you can't blame them either, because they're just, you know, they're just their own conditioning too. No. So,
no. No, they also like got a lot on their shoulders, you know, like now we are strong and independent women. Okay. So be careful. Okay. So no, let's not blame him either. I think just, smile, you know, go out, say hello also maybe to a man that you like, you know, or you feel like maybe you can have a conversation with him. But keep also that femininity. Mm-hmm. Don't be too aggressive. Don't be too restlessness, you know. And maybe also, just in case, check also how is your relationship mm-hmm. with your father and with your mother. Do you respect your father? Do you respect your mother? Do you think that your father respects his wife and also your mother respects her husband? All of those may also have an unconscious impact on you and your love life. Because if you have seen, of course, your parents happy, caring for each other, respectful toward each other, come on, it may be easier for you to also have a beautiful love life. You know, of course, you are going to experience mm-hmm. breakups. You know, this is what life is about. But you won't have those up and downs, roller coasters, you know, emotional roller coasters like, oh my God, he was violent or he was an addict or he had no respect for me or he cheated on me. So it's also important. But then I would say like, yeah, let's stop hiding behind our computer or phone and let's interact again. I do think we are also afraid of connecting physically, not virtually. How many times now we just prefer sending a text or mm-hmm. an email rather than just giving a call? I do think we also became afraid of talking, like, but using our voice and not only our fingers. And thumbs. So I think it's also important to take care of that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's so true. It's so true. And we've only just gotten more and more comfortable with that. Just, it's such a big pattern. Yeah. It's normal now.
But I think there is also an awakening.
Yes.
You know, like at first, Instagram was all about fancy pictures.
Yeah.
And guess what? A few months ago, it was Insta stories. So you can talk, you know, again. You can film, you know, like, I don't know, you're at the restaurant or you're on vacation. So it's more and more, it's coming back. I'm really hopeful. I think we did have an awakening, especially maybe our generation, the 80s, because we were the one with a big shift. Like most of us, we were raised, you know, by mothers, you know, telling us, well, my daughter, you have to be independent. Mm-hmm. Please make your own money because right now I'm stuck with your father. So, I think we are having that awakening of like, well, we can live together again. We can also share, you know, like our responsibilities again. Like it's not only me who is going to have a child. I'm having that child with my husband and my husband will also be part of raising our kid together. I think we're looking more and more to that authenticity in our relationships.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think we're calling the bullshit, you know, when we see it more too. Yeah. We're not just, even with Instagram, you know, we're not exactly. wanting that glossy, picture perfect presentation of life because we know that's not real.
Yeah, exactly.
And no one lives like that. It's just
No one. We are all humans and we will all die at some point.
Totally. And we all have the same wants and fears and desires and, you know, as different as we are fundamentally, I think we want the same things.
Exactly.
Well, I want to shift gears a little bit and come back to your story. Can you tell us about how did you find family constellation therapy and what was your journey like in getting there?
Sure. So at first I studied psychology in Paris because I was going to become a psychologist. However, I made another decision. After my studies, I moved to America. And after 2 years in Miami, I hit rock bottom. I was pretty depressed, desperate even. Not happy, not unhappy. I didn't know what to do with my life. I didn't know where to go. Yeah, I was just lost. And so I met a woman. She was my first mentor, Michelle Blechner. And one day she came back to Miami because she just has visited her daughter in New York. And she was so excited about a new process that she just experienced. And it was family constellations. And she was like, Marine, you have to try. It's going to change your life. You are going to understand so many things through another perception. Please try. And at that point, I was so desperate that I was like, yeah, sure, I can give a try, you know, I don't care. So my first constellation was about my love life, because for the past 25 years of my life, I was blaming my father of having shitty relationships. And the thing is, through my first family constellation, I discovered that it was not the truth. It was not the reality. The reality was my mother was also a very, very strong an independent woman, and I may have become strong and independent woman and so being afraid of men. Of course, my father had his share too, you know, like he was not that emotionally available, but it was not only him. And so finally, when I became aware of that pattern, it's just like changed my entire perception regarding my life. Mm-hmm. I was like, if I was not right regarding my love life, what is it now about my health, about my career, about my relationship with money, and so on? So I started digging deeper in my personal life, especially also through one trauma that I had at the age of 13 years old. I was sexually abused, and I was actually able to tell the truth, to speak what happened to me at the age of, I would say, 27, 28, because this is when I self-published my first book, The Movement, and my parents read the book. And so then my mother opened up the dialogue, telling me, I knew something happened, but because you didn't want to talk, I didn't know what to do in order to help you. And this also helped my relationship with my mother. My relationship with my mother has been always beautiful, but I think we were finally honest to each other. Like the truth was revealed, you know, my secret was out, and I felt, I would say, freer to be myself. So this was a big part of my healing, because sexual trauma, of course, influences your relationship with men, your relationship with your body, your relationship with your sexuality, and ultimately the relationship with the woman that you are. So I really had to heal that part of my life, that part of my past, in order to move on and in order to finally be attracted by men that were going to respect me and with whom I could speak up. So this was big.
What was that healing process like for you? Can you kind of walk us through?
It was a lot of tears. And I was also a tough cookie. I was pretty resistant to that part because it was too much suffering, I guess. So it took me a while. At first, so of course I recognize, you know, that event, but I was so stubborn of not feeling it. That was pretty hard. Then in one of my constellations, someone did represent my perpetrator, my abuser, and I started panicking, like shaking.
Oh, wow.
My knees started, you know, like shaking too. I felt weak, really, really weak in my body. I just wanted like to put my knees down. And what happened is, and right now I can still feel that emotion. Like actually it's kind of amazing. I was screaming for my mom. And so I started crying. And the facilitator, Susie Tucker, at that time, she's an amazing facilitator. She's an amazing teacher. She was my teacher for Family Constellation Method. She asked all of the women part of my constellation to come behind me and supporting me. But it was still not enough. And so finally, Susie Tucker, and I am so grateful for her, because she entered my field as my mother.
Oh, wow.
And she was on my side. And this just created a deep shift, because I was not alone anymore. I had my mother on my side and all of the women behind me representing my ancestors, my friends, you know, my feminine energy in front of that man who I think would have destroyed my entire life. I thought, you know, it was my new identity. Well, sexually abused, period. But the thing is, it was not. That event never, never, never defined who I was. And it will never, never define who I will be and become. And this is the same thing for any traumatic events. We entangle ourselves with that part of our story, but this is not true. We also have the choice to recognize that event. And yes, it hurt a lot. It's a scar. However, you can make something beautiful out of it. Like there is that saying in America, like, give me lemon and you can make lemonade or something like that. And I think this is true. The thing is now, because, so at first I did survive. I did survive until my 26, 27 years old, okay, while I was writing my book. And then I was finally free to see myself as whole and complete. And that event was not part of my identity. It was part of my past, but it is not something that I have to carry on during my entire life. And this makes the entire shift for me. And of course, I did also work on my father's relationship, on a few other things. And then I was like, okay, I want to do that now. I don't want to be a psychologist. I just want to do family, I just want to be a family constellation facilitator, because that method did change my life and to the best. It was painful. I spent again 1 year working on myself, doing one private session or one workshop per week. I was really committed to it. Maybe at the end it was too much, you know, but I'm like that, you know, like I go 200% of it. I dedicate my life. And then I moved to New York. So I did study with Susie Tucker for 1 year again, learning about the methods, the philosophy of family constellations. And then I felt ready to open my own practice. And yes, that's right. I attract a lot of clients, a lot of women clients who have been molested or sexually abused. But I do think your pain becomes your purpose. I understand them better. So yeah, I think you also have a niche as a therapist. I have like maybe 10% of my clients are men. And I really love also them because they're great, you know, trying to understand their emotions or feelings. But it's 90% of women, and 50% of them had, unfortunately, sexual abuse or molestation abuse. But I can understand them better. The thing also that is important is, and don't get me wrong with what I'm going to say, but I have no pity for them. I'm not sad for them. I see them whole and complete because they did it. They did survive. And right now they are trying to exist. They are trying to live. And these do not deserve from my side any sadness or pity for them. It will be an offense for them. And this is something I think that I always refuse. Like, okay, this happened to me, but I'm not a victim. I am Marine and I have my life and I'm just going to do it. And this is the thing that I truly want to offer to my clients too. You are not a victim and you will never be a victim. This is why be responsible for your life. Acknowledge what was and what is and just move on.
You talked about how your perpetrator came up in a family constellation workshop. So can you explain to someone who has, you know, never done a workshop or is just trying to understand what this method looks like? Sure. How does that come up and how is that so representative of maybe patterns in the subconscious mind?
So when you do a workshop, so obviously you are going to be with people. And so those people, they will represent family members, or it can also be an emotion. It can also be an event that happened. And the facilitator will set up a field. It means that in the room that you are going to occupy, there will be like a square or a circle dedicated to your constellation, where all of the representatives, they will interact between each other. And what happens between each other is you are going to feel emotions. And those people who don't know you, they don't even know your story, they're also going to experience the same feelings that the person that they are going to represent. So for example, me, my perpetrator, when it was a man actually who did represent him, but it doesn't matter. There is no gender in family constellations. You can be a man if you're a woman, or you can be a woman if you're a man. I remember him telling me like out loud, like, I cannot look at her. I'm ashamed. And so me, like I said first, I was afraid. I could not, you know, like carry my body. So you are going, yes, to experience emotions and feelings that belong to the experience, to the event. And so then the facilitator will lead the constellation through healing phrases, like the ones that I mentioned earlier. I am your daughter. You are my mother. I recognize you. I give you a place. You stay here. I stay there, and so on. And so normally at the end of your constellation in a group, it's like 40 minutes. I do think after 40 minutes, you just lose the energy, the focus of the group, because it's also a pretty draining work. Like, it's a lot of emotions, it's a lot of feelings. And believe me, 4 hours, you know, hearing about stories and experiencing feelings and emotion, it's a lot to take on. So after 40 minutes, normally you should feel lighter. Sometimes, like I was, you can be resistant and the facilitator will just stop the constellation because you won't be able to go further in your healing. That's more than fine. Trust the timing, okay? And then if you do a private session, me, for example, I use footsteps, but some others, they use objects, they use dolls, they use also pieces of paper. It does not matter. And of course, you're not going to have a dialogue with someone else, but you are going also to set up your constellation by placing all of those footsteps on the floor. And this will create your family constellations, meaning the subconscious dynamics between each other that are part of that event, that are part of that trauma, that are part of that experience. And again, through your body, through your emotions, you are going to feel a few things that you are going to share with your therapist. And from that, again, your facilitator will guide you until a resolution. I do hope it's clearer, but I know the best way to understand the full power potential of family constellation, it's really, really to experience it, whether in individual or in a group.
Right. I mean, I think it's just so crazy, the ability of this practice to be able to access the subconscious mind, because usually that's something that, you know, you think only being in a deep meditative state or, you know, even in a dream state or something like that, you have the ability to access. But this is, it's unique because it's practice that you're doing when it's like you're able to meet your subconscious mind with the conscious, like, awareness of being in reality in a way. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
You are right. You are right.
So what do you think is the future of with family constellations, and especially with you and your practice? I know that, you know, the movement came out how many years ago now?
It was in 2015, December 2015.
2015, and you're doing workshops and private sessions. And where do you think this is all going?
So I also launched my course in family constellations at the beginning of 2018. It's a course about like theory and healing. And this is something that I really, really want to expand. I really want to share what family constellation is about. I really want to teach how family constellation can help you for your personal and professional life. This is one of my goals, to do conferences and seminars and talks. I also want to write more books, and I am truly looking for an agent right now, because I do think I could get more visibility through a publishing house. But I also really enjoy my work with my individual clients, you know, individual sessions. It's always an honor to be part of someone's life and to have his or her trust. It's something that I'm always touched about. Like, you don't know me, but you do trust my work. You do trust my words. And yes, it's just an honor, you know? And every time I'm done working with one of my clients, I'm like, yes, high five, you rock. Just go now. Live fully, you know, experience your life. Because the thing is, can we heal at 100%? I don't think so. But we can understand our past, and so we can move on. I think our healing journey is part of our life. Every day we heal through one experience, one comment, one reading, one person. This is the magic of life. The only thing I think that we need is having that strong foundation. We can lean on it and we can trust that we have that supporting us. But then this is your life and this is up to you. It's just every day a commitment to, okay, today I just want to be happy. And this is the beauty of life, that commitment toward your life. And no one else again can give it to you except you.
How do you think the world would be, I know this is kind of a broad question, but how do you think the world would be different that we live in today if everyone truly understood their family system and understood, you know, really had done this work of looking into their own family unit and patterns and things like that, you know, not held any blame or judgment or not played the victim in it?
What I think finally is a world will be at peace. But do we really want our world to be at peace? Again, it's easier to complain, to be a victim, to blame someone else. It takes courage to be happy. It takes courage to claim out loud, I am responsible for my life and I will handle my shit, my bad behavior, and I will also handle my happiness, my success. It takes courage to be happy. But the more courageous people we will have, the better, a better place will be for us to live in that world.
Because we all have our family system, so we're all being impacted by it in different ways.
Exactly.
I want to talk about the workforce, because I think your work is really interesting and how it relates, how these family dynamics can carry into the workforce, especially from that woman's perspective of if she's had any sort of sexual assault or abuse happen to her in her life. What's your advice to her, maybe if she's recognized that something like this has happened to her in her past, and now maybe these behavioral patterns are displaying in a work environment where her boss is, you know, she's unable to communicate properly with the boss or a male authority sort of figure, which is in fact impacted because of this past event. Can you speak to this at all? I know you probably explained it a lot better than I just did.
Well, if she recognized that event, if she took care of it, normally she should not be triggered by male energy or her boss or even her boyfriend. But the thing is, sometimes we think that we did the work, but actually maybe it was too soon. Or maybe you still need to reassure your little girl or the younger self that you were when this happened, and tell her, like, do not worry, I am here, you are safe. If that woman is still experiencing difficulty with men, like authority with men, she feels triggered by a word or like a behavior, maybe she's still in that mindset, I'm not safe with men. And this is really important that, and it took me a few years, you know, like to really feel safe with men. It also took place through my father's relationship. But I think that woman in question, you know, in your example, she still needs to do some work because she is still not feeling safe with her own sexuality, her body, her femininity. And it starts with her. Like the other ones, they are not the problem. They are not your problem. It's not about them. So maybe you have to do a few more work on yourself, you know, to understand yourself better. And for sure, reassuring your little girl, your younger self, and so your adult self that you are safe in that world. And no one, absolutely no one, is against you.
And in the context, in the situation of an entrepreneur, how is he or she impacted by their family system?
So as an entrepreneur, like, you are going to represent your mother and your father. Like, the family system follows you at work. So the mother will be represented through the company and the father will be represented through the hierarchy, anyone above you. So of course, if you have if you are an entrepreneur, you do represent both. You are the one giving birth to your company and you are also the one giving the order, like leading your company. So I would say it will be better for you if you really want to thrive and be successful to be at ease with your parents. And that does not mean to be in love. Like, at first, it's acceptance and respect that matters the most. Then, of course, sometimes you had terrible parents and maybe the feeling of love is not yet available for you. But with respect and acceptance, you can definitely move on. Then love, of course, with love, everything becomes easier, but respect and acceptance are at first the most important thing. So as an entrepreneur, I will highly recommend you to be at ease and to be comfortable with your parents supporting you behind you, behind your back. Yes, definitely.
We're going to transition a little bit and go into some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
So what are the three books that changed your life the most?
So the first one is The Man Who Wanted to Be Happy by Laurent Gounelle. It's a French book at first, but there is the English translation. It's the first book that I read when I started my healing journey. Then A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. And my third one will be The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. It's like a Bible for me, you know, The Four Agreements. It's just like, it's my recommendation for every new client. I'm like, did you read The Four Agreements? Okay, so you are going to read it, please.
Good to know. Yeah. What's your morning routine like?
When I open my eyes, I repeat a few affirmations. Like, I am important. You belong. Let's do your best. Then I meditate. I'm not a huge fan of meditation. Okay, so I'm not going to meditate for 20, 30 minutes. But thanks to Insight Timer app, I'm going to do a meditation of 5-10 minutes maximum. Okay, just to put my mind, you know, more grounded. Then I'm going to have a little dance with myself and my body. Like, I love stretching, you know, with music. I feel it's pretty like invigorating and empowering. And then finally, I'm going to have my breakfast. Without breakfast, I am no one. I love breakfast. It's my favorite meals of the day. So I'm just going to take my time. And then finally, when I'm going to sit at my desk, I will pick a card from the deck, The Universe Has Your Back by Gabrielle Bernstein. I really like her affirmations. And then I'm ready to work.
Cool. Do you have an evening routine as well?
Yes, I do. I turn off my phone around like 8:30, 9 p.m. I can be on my own. I can be with my friends, with my lover. I don't care. You know, I'm just going to turn off my phone. And I'm going to cook. I love cooking. And I'm also going to work out just to release all of the energy that I got, you know, during my day. And, and I'm going to self-massage my feet, thanking both of them because they carry me all day long. And I think they deserve a little massage.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing to cook?
Pastries. But it's not like really great for my body shape. So I try my best to cook salads, you know, but I'm a big fan of risottos, pastas. Like, well, what's life without pasta? Nothing.
That's a, is that the pastry? Is that the French influence in you, do you think?
Oh, definitely.
I love that. What is your advice to your younger self?
Love yourself to the fullest and with no, and don't be apologetic about who you are. Love yourself. Love, 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 love yourself.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
From my mother. Be independent.
Be independent.
Yeah.
What's an unusual habit or crazy, absurd thing that you love?
I love counting things. I don't know why I do that, but, you know, when I'm walking in the street, I'm just going to count the trees. Or if I'm in the subway, I'm just going to count how many people we are. Like, I love that. And don't even ask me why. I don't know. It's just some things that I do. And it's been a while now.
Ah, that's hilarious.
I just count things. Yeah, I don't know why.
Tell me something that's true that almost nobody agrees with you on.
That life is supposed to be fun and not complicated.
Yes. What was your most formative experience?
My most transformative experience? Writing my book, The Movement.
Why is that?
Because I gave myself permission to be who I am by telling the truth.
Wow. I think we're gonna end on that note there. So where can everyone find you? Where can they find out more? Book a session, of give them all the information.
So marineselene.com, MarineSelene. And if you type Marine Selene on Instagram, you will find me. On Facebook, you will find me. On LinkedIn, you will find me. I'm pretty easy to find. Marine Selene. And, or you can also send me an email, of course, marine@marineselene.com. And it will be my pleasure to answer your back.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. for giving everyone the scoop on family constellations. And I just love your work so much. And I think it's so important. And I think that it is, we can understand so much more about ourselves just through understanding our family. So thank you for your work that you do. And
thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you.